Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we get our foot in the door of this new week, let me remind you that last week we talked about the credibility of Genesis chapter 14. We heard from a couple of skeptics who said that we cannot trust what Scripture reports, but we countered that skepticism with truth. By looking at certain ancient written records and the geopolitics at the time of Abraham, we affirmed what the Bible says in this chapter. And on Thursday and Friday, as we discussed geopolitics, I introduced you to a Christian scholar by the name of Kenneth Kitchen. Remember him? He was the author of the penetrating article, The Patriarchal Age, Myth or History? Well, today I would like to pick up on Kitchen again and share with you some insights he gives in a book of his that I'd like to recommend to you. The title of the book is On the Reliability of the Old Testament, and we will get to his insights in a moment. In a sense, we're going to the kitchen for a nice, sweet little snack, a little treat we need for our ongoing journey in Genesis. I do love going to the kitchen. But first, this reminder. If you have not already done so, write to me and get the map I told you about last week. This week, we will be talking geography, and I have a map that is very clear, marking various locations in Genesis chapter 14. If you would like it, but forgot to ask for it, now is the time to do so. Email me and simply say map, and I'll get it right over to you. My email address is mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. And all my addresses will be repeated a little later on. Let's again dip way back, far back into ancient history, at or near the time of the biblical patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and see what we have unearthed from that period in history that will be useful to our understanding of the Bible. I feel that Genesis chapter 14 gives us a great opportunity to talk about how extra-biblical, or certain historical resources outside of the Bible, lend a great deal of credibility to what is in the Bible. And today I want to show you how extra-biblical, autobiographical and biographical narratives from outside the Scripture are similar in form to the biblical auto and biographical narratives in the Scripture. Let me repeat that. I want to show you how extra-biblical, autobiographical and biographical narratives from outside the Scripture are similar in form to the biblical auto and biographical narratives in the Scripture. And here is where a scholar like Kenneth Kitchen is really helpful. In a chapter on the biblical patriarchs in his book On the Reliability of the Old Testament, he considers a range of comparable narration from the biblical world, which has been unearthed by archaeologists, then analyzed and translated by linguists and others, and he puts these into five helpful categories. We will only look at one category, that of what he calls autobiographical and biographical texts of both officials and private people. We know what autobiography is. It is an account of a person's life written by that person. And we know what biography is. It is an account of someone's life written by someone else. And maybe you enjoy reading these. I sure do. Well, this part of Genesis is autobiographical in one sense and biographical in another sense. Here is the autobiography relating to Genesis 14. Picture, if you would, sometime in the future, after the events of the War of the Kings, and Abraham is out walking with his son Isaac, and Abraham says, "Son, Let me tell you about the time the four kings of the northeast, over there, from that direction, came marching down upon the five kings of the south. Look, down there, from where our relative Lot was living at the time. And Abraham would go on to explain this event from earlier in his life, telling Isaac about how he had to rescue Lot, Isaac's cousin, from the northeastern kings who took Lot captive as they pillaged the south. In this sense, Abraham is giving an autobiographical account of his own life to Isaac. Then, Isaac captures that history from his father's life, and fast forward again, and Isaac gets married and has two sons, Esau and Jacob. And again, picture that one day Isaac and Jacob are talking, and Isaac gives Jacob a biographical account of Jacob's grandfather Abraham. And Isaac retells the same story we have in Genesis 14. It is, after all, a fascinating and true story. It actually has a lot of the elements that best-selling books today include: battles, warfare, kings, blood and treasure, surprising attacks, and a big victory from a big underdog. Now, when Isaac tells Jacob the story, it is part of the biography about the life of Abraham. Well, on and on these stories go, passed from generation to generation, from Isaac and then to Jacob and then to Joseph and eventually to Moses, whom writes it all down. So right there in the Bible, we have autobiography and biography. Of course, for us, it is all biography because these are the people who lived a long time ago, well before any of us. The Bible is a book of biographies, and it is the best book in the whole wide world. Ah, but is it just the ancient biblical text that presents history to us in this method? No, it is not. In a very similar time period, there is history developing outside what we read about in Genesis. And God has allowed for us to uncover some of that history, which also includes both autobiography and biography. And Kenneth Kitchen writes about one such example. This is one of many, but it is a real humdinger, a real remarkable find by the archaeologists in Egypt. And remember, Dr. Kitchen is a world-renowned Egyptologist. Egypt is his specialty. In Egypt, there has been excavated an ancient Egyptian cemetery by the name of Beni Hassan. The site includes a number of notable tombs. Some of these are accessible to the public. And one in particular captures our attention, tomb number 3. This is the tomb of Kenomhotep II. He was an Egyptian great chief during the reign of two pharaohs in the 12th dynasty, so Middle Kingdom, 20th century BC. And this is the period between the years 2000 and 1901 BC, which fits Abraham's time. In the tomb, inscribed in the stone walls, is a monumental text, both a biography and an autobiography written by Kenomhotep II prior to his death. Along with the written text, which I will say more about in a moment, there is a famous painting of the procession of the Amu, a group of West Asiatic peoples, visitors to Egypt. These visitors came in 1900 BC. 15 of the foreign visitors are shown, but the accompanying inscription mentions 37 persons. This is all very well preserved. And then, in the writing on the walls of the tomb, let me quote Dr. Kitchen. Kenomhotep II speaks not only of his own deeds, and let me break in, that is the autobiography. This great chief was writing about himself and his own life. Continuing with Kitchen now, Kenomhotep speaks not only of his own deeds, but takes us through three generations of his own family history under four successive kings. And there is the biography. He is writing about his family. He describes the relationships of his family with the ruling house, their various appointments, besides dilating at length on his own deeds and honors. So back to autobiography. They are all put in the third person, biography, and he speaks of himself in the first person, autobiography. He clearly knew his family history all the way back through four reigns. End of Dr. Kitchen's quote. The connection Kitchen and I am making to the Bible is this. Likewise, the biblical patriarchs knew their family history very well and repeated it as such. And that was common at the time when Abraham and then Isaac, Jacob and Joseph lived. And we know this because God has allowed for us to find, open, and look inside the tomb of an ancient Egyptian who used both autobiography and biography to record the events of his life and the events of his family's life, and through the painting to give us a sense for how peoples moved around during those days, sometimes forging alliances and sometimes making war with one another, such as here in Genesis chapter 14. This is all very remarkable, and you can go online and look at photos of these tombs and see how well they have all been preserved. Well, the Bible stands alone in that this is the very Word of God, and yet God places His Bible in the context of real and human history. God is sovereignly watching all of history unfold, some of which He includes in His Word to us, others of which we learn by reading auto and biographical accounts later. When we put it all together, we can be sure of this. Our Bible is reliable. And tomorrow we return there, maps in hand. Remember to get your map and join us next time for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.